What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series. Hi, I'm JR.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, and I think this week's is going to be a bit of a treat for people.
I think so too, JR, and gosh, how can we intro it without giving it away?
Well, what we can say is this is from Al No.
Yes, we can definitively say that.
Yeah, anybody who knows Al No, who was originally on the Diddly Dum podcast and has done various other things since, but Al No was one of those people who got in touch when we were doing Contact Has Been Made, and when his first essay came in, it was, shall we say, slightly different.
Mm.
But it was so good, we immediately went back to him and got a bunch more. So this is going to be the first of several readings we'll have from Al No over the course of the next few weeks and months. Al No has a particular way of writing about things that absolutely chimes with the person, well, in my opinion, absolutely chimes with the person reading it, while at the same time being just a little bit surreal, I think is the best way of describing it. He likes to throw a bit of surrealness into his essays, and there's definitely a bit of surrealism in this essay here.
There certainly is, and he has a lovely turn of phrase, and to hear it actually read in his own voice is a real treat.
Oh, it is. It's just gorgeous. His readings are just gorgeous. This one is from Contact Has Been Made Volume 2, and in Contact Has Been Made Volume 2, what we did was we went through all the stories in the new series, but because we didn't want people who just like the classic series to buy the first book and not the second one, we threw in a whole huge chapter about various things that were sort of on the outskirts of Doctor Who. So, for instance, there was an essay on the Target books. There's going to be a whole book on the Target books now, but there was an essay on the Target books in there, and sort of peripheral things like that. And Al No's chosen one of those peripheral things that I think an awful lot of people will have had their own relationship with over the years. And Al has sort of detailed his relationship with this particular thing without nailing it down, as it were. So there's kind of a, as you listen to this, you'll know immediately, almost immediately, what he's talking about. But you'll kind of recognise from the way he talks about the thing that it is, what it is he's talking about, and the way you feel about that thing too, I think.
I've got to say, I started a relationship with this thing in 1986.
Oh, really? I'm just trying to think now. My relationship with this thing would have started in about 1981, I think.
Yeah, mine began at the local shopping mall. Where did yours begin?
In a newsagent in the small town where I was living at the time. And it was one of those things where you just kind of walk in and it's like, oh, I didn't realise that was a thing. And before you've even familiarised yourself with that thing, you know it's going to be an ongoing thing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things.
It is. It is definitely one of those things. Shall we put people out of their suspense and let Al tell us all about it?
If we haven't already, yes, I think so.
Right, here we go. Here's Al.
Everything's Connected, written and read by Al No. Thousands of years ago, which can't be right, I lived on top of a hill and next to a park. The hill itself was marked by two roads which joined more or less at the apex. I lived for some of the year on one of these roads. It's the other one that's important. Everything's connected. Friendships, like crinoids, just grow. You were feisty, bright, excitable, and smelled of licorice and ink. You're pretty funny too in your own way, although I didn't realise that, because you didn't laugh when you cracked a joke like I did. We took to each other at first because we had so much in common, although you'd also turn up with random presents which never hurt. You were interested in science fiction and loved Doctor Who, but there was more to you than just that. For a start, you were really into comics, and I mean really into comics. You might be a bit embarrassed to have that brought up now. I mean, we're both a lot older after all. You must be, what, early 30s or something? Doesn't show. As for me, I've got so old now that I'll be lucky to finish writing this without turning into shale, or a sentient gas or something. From the off, you had impeccable taste in comics. I recognised some of the artists from other inky Marvel weeklies I'd read, but I couldn't say who they were. I wasn't bothered by the writers at all then either, but you kept mentioning their names on the off chance. I liked the way that you'd talk me through adaptations of classic science fiction. I remember you having a fondness for H.G. Wells, and although I was already familiar with The War of the Worlds, looking back I've no idea why, The First Men in the Moon and The Invisible Man came as total surprises. You loved stories, and they got you really worked up, which was a delight to see. I remember you spinning these amazing yarns about the Doctor and all the places he visited and about the monsters as well. Almost always ones I'd only seen in the ancient photographs you'd dug up. Ice warriors, demons, Kilmeks, Draconians, Autons, a sea devil and a Cyberman with a soul. They all had personalities and thoughts, personalities and cultures. Some of them cropped up on the Target covers, but we weren't really talking about those then. In fact, in those days you kept pretty quiet about the history of Doctor Who. Although I guessed you knew a lot more than you were letting on. I'm ashamed to admit that I used to blank out when you started talking at length about where the series had come from and all these early story synopses. I found it difficult to get excited about something that I was never going to see and, well, look, I was just being polite until we got back to the comics. Well, that's not entirely true. You used to quote interesting things you'd read in the 14 times, so I guess my current subscription to that publication is your fault. I started reading it properly after we drifted apart, but we'll get to that. And that must have been your influence again. I'd never thought of that before. Everything's connected. After that crazy first year, we stopped seeing each other quite so much, and against the odds, this made us a lot closer. I'd begun paying attention to the names you'd been running by me all this time. Although I was reading a lot of books, I felt you were humouring me a bit because I couldn't really find any common ground other than the Target novels, and even then you didn't seem that enthusiastic. I know that changed later on, so don't take it personally if I misread the signs. I've got a tendency to look for layers where there aren't any. To be honest, a lot of that's probably your fault too. Looking back, I'm surprised there wasn't as much of a cross-pollination of artists over the comic field at that time as I thought. For a long while there, Steve Dillon was my very favourite artist, to the point where I felt convinced that I could identify his work based on a single line. Don't look like that, you were the one who encouraged me. In fairness, there was a golden bubble of confidence and possibility spreading through the whole UK comic scene. It was so powerful that even I could feel it, and I was on top of a hill, next to another road. An important one. Everything's connected. In fact, to tell the truth, we're entering the time when everything smelt of rain and wham bars. 1983. This is where it got awkward. A gentleman of your acquaintance, who'd been taught Tom Baker's signature, had set up a new magazine called Warrior, and he'd hired the creative team who chilled me with business as usual to reinvigorate Nighthawk, or something. The artist in question was David Twilight of the Silurians Lloyd, and the writer was Alan, no relation to Steve, Moore, who was also reinvigorating a superhero elsewhere in the magazine in a strip that would eventually feature my secondary school and coincide with a meeting in the house on the other road, the important one. Everything's connected. While this future strand was forming, you were growing up and getting more interested in the behind-the-scenes aspect of the televisual production of Doctor Who and the archaeological minutiae that went with it. You were building connections with celebrities, interviewing actors and directors and writers, and basically getting more sophisticated, specialised, and mature. There was a moment when you'd taken to recolouring old production stills in an idiosyncratic way, but it turned out that was just a phase while your design skills adapted to the times. I was getting older and reading comics obsessively, which led to the final blinding magnesium flare of our first relationship. It began when Steve Dillon took over the main strip and burned like a ribbon of incandescent DNA through Steve Parkhouse and John Ridgway's Whiffadil-esque take on the Sixth Doctor. Astrolabus's final desperate journey across that undrawn page was like the flash at the end of the Davison titles, the final whiteout the television screen made when the power was cut, before it receded to tiny dots that might as well be alien suns. And that was us. We kept seeing each other after that, but it was feeling a bit like a duty now. You'd made some hugely important connections and spent a lot of time hanging around with the new producer. We managed to miss each other at Longleat, although we were both there. We'd been drifting since the stars fell on Stockbridge, and the final Universal strand broke when I ignored you in that newsagents on City Road in Cardiff. Everything's connected. We went our separate ways. You became a full-time professional, and after producing a one-off fanzine, I tried being a student. We met up once during college and you gave me a poster of all seven Doctors. I thought it was a shame about the cancellation, but I couldn't understand why you were hanging on to the idea that these new novels were the future. I was abrupt, rude and arrogant, and I'm sorry about that. I put the poster up after you left. We met up by chance in a W.H. Smith's in Cardiff in 2005 and caught up. We're older now, if not necessarily wiser. Turned out we just needed different times to get to the same place after all. You make me laugh, think, and although we don't always agree, I can see where you're coming from. I'm glad we got back together, because I know I can tell you that the creative team that took over that superhero strip I mentioned earlier also adapted the dropped opening scene for The Doctor's Wife for 2012's brilliant book, and you'll know what I mean. And then, when I tell you that I went to the same secondary school as half of them, you'll know straight away why the meeting set up by my art teacher in that house, on that road, at that time, was so important to me. After all, this is Doctor Who. And whilst it might take a while, in the end, everything's connected. Dedicated to Steve Dillon and everyone who's ever read, written, or drawn for Doctor Who magazine.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.